All right, this question is directed at Mr. Callahan, and it says, how do you choose what part of the Bible you believe?
Through the reason and faith, faith and reason. The same way that we learn any kind of knowledge, particularly in this age of reason and the scientific age, and think of the many things we've accomplished through science. And that wouldn't be possible, by the way, if science was not correct. I contend that religion is merely a study, just as evolution is merely a study, of which the scientific method can be applied. And again, I mentioned Josh McDowell's work. Our faith is not based without evidence. It's based on evidence. And one of the strongest evidence which reinforces our initial conviction is the power we see of God working in our lives and other Christians and miracles. Not only our relationship, the most subtle and strongest, but I'm sure a lot of us have seen actual physical miracles, certainly the Father of these types. Tremendous amount of evidence. And what types do I believe? Again, I believe in faith and reason. As God convicts me, as I use my own reason, as I compare it against what is known scientifically, so therefore that's why I would not accept Genesis, I would weigh Genesis as strongly as I would weigh the Gospel, because of the reality of Jesus, and you come to basic conclusions about what he said over and over again, and piece together. So, again, it's by scientific method applied to the Scriptures, which I look at as a historical document. And there are other evidences behind the Scriptures for Jesus' deity as well. So I look at the Scriptures, what I have learned, the internal validity, the validity compared against history and science, and through the conviction, yes, the Holy Spirit. What I believe. And by the way, we all do that, whether you believe it's inerrant or not. You don't have the Holy Spirit helping you, you're going to get it all mixed up, and you all know that. We all need that to discern it, to understand it.
That's what I read the last part. The Holy Spirit told me real clearly that my position is right, his is wrong. I believe the Bible is literally true, especially the Bible claims to be perfect. The Bible claims to be inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, truth, etc. There are numerous cases where the Scripture itself claims to be God's Word. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of times where it says, thus saith the Lord. So the Bible is making the claim for perfection. He says he doesn't believe in Genesis. I understand that, okay? But Jesus certainly believes in Genesis, quoted it 25 times, so he's calling Jesus a liar or stupid. I don't see any other option. And you cannot say the Bible is a good book if it claims to be perfect, and it's not. It's a bad book. If I claimed I was George Washington reincarnated, you would know either I was or I wasn't. Okay? If I'm not George Washington reincarnated, but I'm claiming that I am, then I'm either a lunatic or I'm a liar. You can't say he's a good man. I'm a bad man. I'm lying. Okay? And the Bible is a bad book. It's a horrible book because it's claiming to be perfect. And he's claiming it is not perfect. Somebody is very clearly wrong on this topic. So I think his position certainly calls Jesus a liar or stupid one, and certainly calls numerous other New Testament and Old Testament writers alike liars, because Genesis is quoted over 200 times in the New Testament. 25 times by Jesus, 200 times total. So his position of not believing Genesis absolutely devastates the entire Bible, which is fine. He can do that if he wants, okay? But he should not claim he believes the Bible, any part of the Bible. And he doesn't believe in Genesis, because it all hinges and falls on that.
All right, I'll give 1 minute on either side.
I have two. Would that be possible?
Two is fine.
Sure. Yes, as far as, again, the inerrancy of the Scripture and believing in it, there's an interesting link also on my website. Can everyone see that okay? Faithreason.org. I'm going to be holding it up every now and then. There's a link about the development of the Bible. And, I mean, how many of you realize that as late as 1885, that's just over 100 years ago, men were still debating what should be in the Bible? All Bibles before that, almost all Bibles before that, contained the Apocrypha. Now, we don't have the Apocrypha. Was the Bible, when did that part become inerrant? In 1850, when people were studying inerrant Bible and studying the Apocrypha, they thought it was inerrant. Men decided, no, it's not. This just isn't inspired enough. It's not a close enough to God. What became the canon? It was all decided by men. You can't get away from our unity. You have to make good decisions about what it is. And of course, I don't call Jesus stupid. I just believe, as I said, his words, as far as Genesis, were in the figurative, not exactly what he said, right, or embellishments over the time, it all was translated, etc. Also, again, look at my page, what Jesus said about the creation story and the flood. And as far as man, we know man's imperfect. I mean, we've got a whole book, Ecclesiastes, did I pronounce that right? And anyway, we've got a whole book about a man's imperfection, essentially. We all know how imperfect we are. That's the biggest lesson, how imperfect we all are. We're sinners. And, you know, you had David falling. Did you know how imperfect the apostles were? How Jesus rebuked Peter. Peter fell when Jesus went to the cross. I mean, because the Bible, right, or the Bible says it's perfect, that doesn't mean it's perfect. And it's like, as Dr. Holden likes to point out, logical fallacy, that's circular reasoning. The Bible's not perfect because one of the writers says it's perfect, and then you say, well, how do you know the writer's perfect? Well, because the Bible says it's perfect. No, they're imperfect men.
Dr. Holden, 2 minutes.
Okay, he mentioned there were so added to the Bible, still deciding about the Bible in 1885. Obviously, he needs to listen to your pastor's information about the King James Version and the Westcott Court controversy. First, the Westcott Court, the two perverts who said he needs to decide about God's Word. I wouldn't believe a thing those guys said. So I would stick with the King James Version for numerous reasons. No, I don't think there's been a controversy at all. The Apocrypha has never been part of Scripture, never should be. It's in the Catholic Bible, and that's a mistake. It shouldn't be. There are clear contradictions in the Apocryphal books. Ecclesiasticus is the one you're referring to, or 1st and 2nd Maccabees, so these other ones. There are 7 extra books in the Catholic Bible that are not Scripture. There's not a conflict among Bible believers of which books ought to be in there. I think the development of the Bible was complete, and God promised He would preserve His Word. Not only did He promise that He would give us His Word, He promised that it would be perfect, He promised He would preserve it. And if we're to believe what Mr. Callahan is saying, He didn't do any of those things. So the question would come up to be obvious in my mind, how do we know which parts of the Bible are right? How do we know what God wants us to do? Where is God's Word? If we follow His position, I think we're really, really going to be lost wandering around like a ship without a sail or an anchor. There is no such thing as right and wrong, which is what evolution ultimately leads to. If evolution is true, Adolf Hitler was right. He was just killing those he thought were inferior. I mean, if evolution is true, there is no such thing as right and wrong. There is no standard anyplace. So I think strong exception to his teaching that Genesis is wrong because he is indeed calling Jesus a liar or stupid one because Jesus quoted it all the time. Plus, God promised He would preserve it. Where is it? Don't fall into that Westcott Martin problem, whatever you do. Those guys.